Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Anyway, let's start the episode. And welcome to another episode of Mystery on the Rocks, the show where unsolved mysteries and cocktails come together. Hello. Wow, we're fast approaching the end of our Hollywood series, aren't we?
I hate to break it to you guys, but there's only, including this one, 3 left.
No.
Only 3. Oh,
unless we think of any last minute that we could shoehorn in that chronologically fit.
Yeah.
I think we should cover the MAGA riots.
Do they count as Hollywood?
Pooku.
Poo-poo. I mean, Trump was in a film.
Yeah, of course.
And he was in McDonald's advert. Him and Grimace, yeah. He was like, Grimace, I don't know how you do it.
I reckon it should be a finale to our political series, though, rather than our Hollywood one.
Good idea. With me, as always, is the voices you are now hearing, Suze Kempner.
Hi, MAGA.
I always think you're going to say maggot when you say maggot. That.
That's like what I call them. I call them the maggots. Yeah. They are maggots.
And Chris Stokes?
Lock her up.
What, just because I'm a maggot?
And I'm Masood Bilas. Hello. Hello. Woo. Hey, everybody. How are you?
Yeah, good. All right.
Yeah. Pretty fucking great.
It's been another eventful week.
Yeah.
It feels like...
Yeah, we're doing this silly podcast and we ended up doing it throughout the pandemic. They are like little time capsules, aren't they?
So
what's happened since the last one? A fucking armed insurrection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I quite like the fact that, because a lot of podcasts that I listen to, they make it a point of not covering anything in the news. They just don't mention it. Right. They don't mention the pandemic because they're like, oh, people want to get away from that. Yeah. Whereas I like the fact that we go, here's where the world is right now, according to us.
Well, I quite like, again, like you said, time caps. I remember I went back and listened to the just before the election, not the US election, the UK election. And that was quite fun to hear some of that and be like,
oh. It was the day it was announced, wasn't it?
Hopeful.
2019 election.
We were hopeful.
We were hopeful and realistic.
Yeah.
I feel like
it funny.
It gives it that little bit of like that, I don't know, just that thing of like, hey, these are real people, not just a bunch of robots recording and being like, nobody wants to hear about the world.
One of the stories that came about from the MAGA riots on the Wednesday, the sedition, was a guy, there were 5 deaths, no one should die because of the MAGA riots, but one of them was a guy tasered himself in the balls till he had a heart attack. Now it's just come out today, his wife said that's fake. Not what happened, however it is canon, so it happened.
I'm afraid that's the internet has spoken.
Give me my tase balls.
It's
I'm gonna insist on tase balls, how about that?
Mystery on the rocks, oh yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah.
I mean, that's... even to be there when that happened, when he's just like to want to be like, dude, you okay? He's like, blah, 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 blah.
my balls, MAGA.
You'd have to pretend, wouldn't you? You're like, oh shit, I've just tasered myself in the balls. And people are saying, are you all right? You're like, nah, honestly, it's okay.
It's all right. Although in my head, he's on the ground shaking and like, you know, that like sort of old school movie style smoke is just coming out from his trousers.
And his hair's all standing up. Yeah. In Home Alone 2, there's a bit where the burglars get electrocuted and obviously they're like, oh, it has Home Alone 2, so we better go one up from Home Alone 1. And Daniel Stern gets electrocuted and at one point he's just a skeleton going, ah!
Oh, yeah, it's like a cartoon, isn't it?
Yeah, I found it too silly. Not like
maybe that's
like
what happened
one.
To the guy. He's just like, he's like skeleton. Like, you just see through his skin, his skeleton.
he's holding the painting that he's trying to steal.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
the person in the painting is also a skeleton.
It's beautiful. Oh man.
But then when he lets
so
go
good.
Of it, the hair in the skeleton is on its like yeah. all stood yeah. up, but the rest of the painting is fine.
It's Eleanor Roosevelt and she's like, whoa, that was a hot one.
That's what I call a fireside chat.
Fuck you.
Oh my. Oh, we have fun on this show.
I have never been so insulted in all my. And you just put the painting face down. You just say.
It's great that all the paintings in the White House have the same snarky attitude as all of the appliances in the Flintstones.
I hope so. Because, you know, Nixon's last days after Watergate was uncovered and before he'd resigned, he would walk the halls of the White House at like 4 a.m. shouting at the portraits and having conversations with them. Like, he proper fucking lost it. It's really weird, isn't it? And so that's Nixon. Imagine what Trump's currently like, just going up to pictures of Lincoln going, I was a better president than you.
I love the idea of Nixon talking to painting.
It's great, isn't it?
Well, listen here, Lincoln, let me tell you something, okay?
His aides would hide, like, in corridors if they heard him coming in those last days. They would just hide, and he would just be ranting and muttering to himself. And then he turned to a painting and yell at it. It's crazy, isn't it? Like, yeah. people think of Nixon now as, yeah, there was Watergate and he had to resign. You don't think of him as being a madman, but it drove him insane, this
he was, well, he was also apparently very paranoid. He'd recorded all of his meetings in the Oval Office, which is not,
he probably shouldn't have done that if he was corrupt.
Yeah. Well,
I tell you what, if you cure for paranoia, don't do anything wrong.
Yeah,
that's there's a reason for that paranoia.
I call it evidence. I call it evidence too, but against you. That's what the evidence is.
You idiot.
Oh, I'll release those tapes. I'll do it too, Lincoln. Sir, I'm talking to Lincoln. Sure thing, sir.
Okay.
You want me to freeze your underwear, sir? Yes. Freeze my underwear. Yeah, he lost
Have
it.
You Jeez. Ever heard the tapes? There's taped phone calls of, I think it's Lyndon B. Johnson, who was always drunk. And it's a phone call with his tailor, and he's like, I need you to make my pants baggy in the back. I don't want them tight around my bunghole. And that is true. I have not just made up a phone call.
That's amazing. He said bunghole.
He said, I want to tire. And there's a bit where he like burps because he's obviously drunk. Fuck, he just goes, yeah, wake up real. Don't make up too tight.
Jesus. Because after Kennedy, wasn't he? And he was like,
yes.
He basically, when that happened, when Kennedy was assassinated, he was, you know this. Yeah, it's like, he was just like he was kind of happy, but he wasn't sad. He definitely wasn't sad that Kennedy died.
No, he definitely was like, I get to be president.
Yeah, and he's such a fucking.
I mean, I'm sure they did have to swear him in on the plane on the
way
back
to
Texas. I'm sure they had to do that, but all the same, I can imagine him going, oh, should we just get this done now then?
Yeah, he's like, all right, so who's got a Bible? Who's got a Bible? All right, thank you. Yeah.
You can swear in on any book, so he did it on the flight safety.
What are we drinking? What are we drinking? What do you have in your glass, Chris?
What I've got in my glass is one of my own making. It's tequila, lemon juice, that IPA syrup, because I made it and have to use it. Blueberry liqueur and blueberries. Muddled blueberries in there.
What do you call it?
So I haven't got a name yet. What would you call it?
Blue balls.
Taze balls.
There's no reason for the balls. Taze balls.
Taze balls.
Yeah, call it a taze balls.
There we go. I've got a taze balls. It's a heart attack in a glass.
Heart attack in a glass. Oh, I love it.
Well, you've got the same, like, similar colours.
Not dissimilar, yeah. My drink served in a beautiful martini glass.
How is it to be drinking again, Suze?
I love it. Yeah. And my sense of smell has really upped its game in the last 2 days.
Excellent.
Like, we get odd box. You know, we get surplus fruit and veg delivered every two weeks. And one got delivered on New Year's Eve. And I haven't had that much of a chance to eat any of it. Because being ill, and my mum's been bedbound. But she's up now. And then today I came to the lounge. I was like, ooh. Didn't realise the odd box was going off.
Oh,
so I was like, it's not like rotten vegetables, but it's like broccoli and leeks and stuff that's been left out in a box for about 10 days. So I went,
didn't know
I can
it was
smell.
or it's rotten.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, I can smell those vegetables. They're not rotten. I used some today, but yeah. So I was like, my sense of smell. So I'm drinking proper drink. I've made a porn star martini, but instead of vodka, which is a porn star martini is vodka, vanilla essence, passoa, which is passion fruit liqueur, and passion fruit juice. Instead of that, I've used passoa, bit of vanilla essence, passion fruit juice, and Nocello.
Have you?
Which is the walnut liqueur that Chris gifted me.
I should have known better, to be honest. When I saw the colour of your drink, I was like, well, at least there's no Frangelico Nocello.
There is. I wanted to taste it out. So it's a porn star martini without vodka. It's a porn star nut.
Porn star nut?
It's very nice. It's like, because a porn star martini, obviously the vodka offsets it a tiny bit, the sweetness. This is sweet, but it's not too sweet. I thought it would be. It's nice. Masood, what you got?
It's called a Thunderbolt. It's sort of it's a martini variation. So what I did is I put some orange liqueur in the glass and swirled it around.
Yeah.
And then 3 ounces of gin, a lot of gin.
Whoa.
A tiny bit of vermouth and like a couple of drops of lime juice. And that's it. And it's pretty strong.
I was going to say, that sounds lethal. But it's, a sipper, at least you wouldn't down. You wouldn't be tempted to down it.
Well, see, this is the thing. Somebody suggested to me on my Twitch that I should have a down in one channel points thing. I'm not going to be drinking that for a down in one. Fuck that noise.
No that's for just way. Like a little single
or a wake up juice. Didn't you make a wake up juice for Back to the Future 3?
That's right.
What's that? What's
so
in
it's
that?
Basically chili. All the chili. You've got chili flakes. Wake up. What's it? Rye whiskey I put in there. Cayenne pepper. Tabasco. Mustard seeds. And then, shook that up and then added some, had the rye in there, topped it up with, soda water. Jesus. Oh. Oh, my God. The first half of the drink is fine. The second half of the drink is awful.
I want to try it.
Try it once. If I were to make it again, I'd probably make a smaller version of it. So I'd use like half everything. So I wouldn't have it in a pint glass. Mm. And I probably, which I did. And I
That's a lot.
Maybe put a little bit of tomato juice in there to give it some sort of body. Because it's just water and spice and whiskey. So there's nothing to it.
It's actually like, do you know what? In the film, it's gloopy.
Yes. So I think tomato juice would be.
Yeah, because it gloops into his...
Into the funnel. Yeah.
I don't remember this at all. But that would offset, I guess, if you have lots of tomato juice.
Yeah.
It's quite neutralizing.
You'd have it as it would de-proof it almost. So like a little bit to give it, like a kind of, like Chris is saying, like almost a more of a luxurious texture. that's luxurious. What I'm having. Well, that's why I consider that luxurious. Spicy tomato juice. Shows where I've grown up. So, what do you have for us today, Chris?
I suppose the best way to describe it is an urban myth rather than an unsolved mystery.
Mm. But it's unsolved as to whether it happened or not. That's where we come in.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's very likely one way or the other.
Mm.
But it's a fun story nonetheless. Because let me take you back to September the 11th, 2001.
Oh, what happened then?
Don't know whether you know anything.
Is that an important date?
Well,
I know what happened then. The Mariah Carey movie Glitter came out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, was it on that day, was it?
It came out on 9/11 and saw it and it's rubbish. And Mariah Carey said, well, unfortunately for us, it came out on 9/11. It's like, Mariah, the movie is bad. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah, don't make this about you, Mariah. This is definitely not about you.
This movie is terrible.
Obviously, we're being very flippant here, but on 9/11, thousands of people died.
3,000, slightly less than die on some of the days of COVID in America.
They obviously died because the Twin Towers were attacked and the Pentagon was attacked.
Yes.
And another plane.
Chris is like, it's an urban myth, and then Chris, it turns out to be a massive truther. It's an urban myth that they.
So we're talking about urban myths. What happened on 9/11? I'd like to suggest. I'd like to suggest building 7, guys. Building 7.
Oh, Jesus God. Christ. Chris, if your next sentence includes the word smoking gun, I'm going to be furious.
All I'm saying, look, they reported that one of the buildings went down before it did. All I'm saying.
The BBC woman was trying to hide it with her shoulder.
We'll do an episode on the actual atrocity of 9/11.
I can't fucking wait.
Sure. But this is more to do with
some heads.
An even bigger story that happened on September the 11th, 2001. And it's, like I say, it's an urban myth. Apparently, while in New York, as the attacks happened, Michael Jackson tried to flee New York, but all flights were grounded.
Okay.
And the Lincoln Tunnel was closed or something.
So he jumped tunnel that was used in Daybreak?
So he jumped in a hire car. Mm-hmm. And he had two of his friends with him that had been at one of his concerts the previous night. Mm-hmm. And this episode is all about, did this happen? And it's the road trip that Michael Jackson, Elizabeth Taylor and Marlon Brando took to flee the 9/11 terror attacks.
What a fucking car.
It happened. Fucking canon. Taze balls, Brando, Taylor, Jackson. In my head, in a Fiat Punto, heading down the motorway.
Brando just fucking pressed in the back like a ham, just like
fat baby.
This story has permeated into pop culture, right? So there was a withdrawal. Yeah. So Sky do a series called Urban Myths, right? Mm-hmm. This was an episode on that, but it was not broadcast because of the controversy. They cast.
Did they actually make it?
Yeah.
Oh my god!
I didn't know they actually made it.
Yeah. You can see footage.
Oh bloody hell! With Joseph Fiennes.
Stockard Channing plays.
That's so funny.
Of course, that's
who's Brando.
Brian Cox.
Oh god! Yeah. Why didn't they air it?
Because Joseph Fiennes plays Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I remember that. I thought he'd been cast, and then they never filmed it. Oh, that's so sad. Because at the time, I remember I went, "It's awful that they cast Joseph Fiennes as Michael Jackson." When there are so many genuine paedophiles they could have used.
Put a pin in the paedophilia, because we will come back to it.
Put a pin in the paedophilia. Titus Chris's new sitcom. Quiet, you. Put a pin in paedophilia. It's got like a northern man.
It's about a released one trying to reintegrate back into society.
Have you seen next door? He's a paedophile. Yeah, put a pin in the paedophilia.
Put a pin in the paedophilia. It's filmed in front of a live studio audience.
Coming up tonight on BBC One, a double bill with Put a Pin in the Paedophilia and What's for Afters.
There
was the episode of Urban Myths. They made that. But Zadie Smith wrote a short story about it as well.
Oh.
And in it, Michael Jackson kind of told from his point of view, I think, all in the third person, but there's a bit where Marlon Brando is sitting on the curbside, and apparently it's a really sad sight because Marlon Brando is really fat by this point. Mm. Michael Jackson is worried about putting him in the back seat.
What a stupid detail.
Let's not treat this short story as fact, shall we? So the idea is that Michael Jackson was doing a couple of performances at Madison Square Garden on the 7th of September and the 10th of September. Mm-hmm. And then obviously you'd stay up after the night of the 10th.
Mm. Yeah.
And he was apparently staying up waiting for the reviews of the show to come out.
Jesus.
And that's how he saw the news break. Obviously,
what? So he stayed up till like 9 in the morning?
Yeah, I don't know whereabouts he was in New York, but I imagine like something that cataclysmic. You'd hear it when it happened. Either way, he panicked, couldn't get out because the flights were all grounded. So because Marlon Brando and Elizabeth Taylor had been guests at the show the night before, where, by the way, they were on stage at one point, both of them, mm-hmm. and Marlon Brando was doing this long speech about how children are starving around the world and Michael Jackson's one of the few souls that are doing to help, and people started booing him because he was so boring.
Now, is that fact? Did that actually happen?
Apparently, yes. Apparently, yes.
And that's really funny.
They were heckling Marlon Brando because he was being so boring. And then during a prolonged bit of sincerity and like maybe quite maudlin from Marlon Brando, somebody just shouted out, Stella!
That's really funny. That's like sounds like a very British thing to happen. That's the sort of thing we do to Americans.
The horror of how boring you
the
are.
The horror. Someone shouted out Stella. That's like when, it's not the same. One of my favourite anecdotes is, so Hugh Jackman, just after X-Men came out, he was in a Broadway musical called The Boy from Oz. He was the lead, and there's a scene where he has to kiss a man. And as they kiss, obviously the audience is just watching, and one guy in the audience shouted out, "Wolverine, no!"
That's amazing.
It should have been me. It should have been me.
It's really funny. I mean, it's also homophobic, but it, I think it's just really funny. Apparently, the audience just fucking cracked up.
So Brando goes up. What was the audience?
Elizabeth Taylor and Marlon Brando were both at this show the night before, and apparently he was worried not only about his own safety but about Marlon Brando and Elizabeth Taylor, and they all, to leave, decided to hire the most inconspicuous car possible, which is why Susie's not far off with saying it was a Fiat Punto.
Fiat Punto.
It was supposed to be. They didn't want to get this sort of like luxurious car, otherwise it would draw attention, so they hired this shitty little regular car.
Oh.
And they left New York City in that car, the three of them, stopping off apparently at KFC a lot for Marlon Brando.
Oh, for God's sake, that's not true.
Is
that the one detail that makes it too
Yeah,
much
that's the bit that makes me go, this is bollocks. Ridiculous. He would have only wanted to stop once, maybe for lunch.
I reckon he'd have stopped twice. KFC for the chicken, McDonald's for the fries.
Thank you very much, Chris. That's exactly the correct order. Okay, so this is what we know so far. So there, he gets his buddies, gets them in a shitty little car. Where are they going? They're going back to Hollywood.
Oh, that's where they're attempting to get back to.
Oh,
they're
bloody hell. Literally the other side of the country.
Apparently, according to the story, they got as far as Ohio.
It's not very far, considering the size of America. They probably only went a day then. I mean, also didn't happen, but...
If they did...
Let me check it out. New York to Ohio.
And then the story delights in this sort of like...
8 hours.
Stopping off at KFC for Marlon Brando and all of that. When the story originated, the idea was that they'd have to stop for gas at some point. Now, do you remember early on in our Hollywood series, we had this gas station that was populated by
Tupac,
Elvis, and
and
Marilyn, and Tupac gets a job there. Yeah. Like, this is the other way around. You're sort of like, you're just a bloke. You've been manning this gas station the whole night, and then you're just about to clock off. It's morning by this point, and you've worked all night. And you're feeling a little bit dazed, a little bit tired. And you're like, oh, I can't believe it. And Marlon Brando, Elizabeth Taylor, and Michael Jackson are
walking. Michael Jackson's like, please, can I have some assistance? Hey, we need to put some fuel in the car.
I need to get back to Blanket. The car like half stalling as it like shudders into the fucking forecourt.
Like, the fuck, they don't normally do their own driving. They don't pump their own gas.
and then you just see a fat Marlon Brando, Elizabeth Taylor, and Michael Jackson stroll out and kind of like wander around.
Marlon Brando is just wearing a towel.
Yeah. Like huffing over the car.
They all walk in, and then Michael Jackson goes, excuse me, sir, can you tell me which potato chips I like?
Liz Taylor's like tries to flog him some of her white diamond perfume. Come on, it's real good.
Yeah, I don't have any cash on me, but here you go. You can take some of this.
Yeah, would your wife enjoy white diamonds perfume?
In a movie, and I bet this happens in the Urban Myths episode, which obviously never aired, but I bet it happens, or at least was in a script stage at one point before it got cut out.
Yeah,
they go into a gas station, and the guy behind the counter goes, fancy dress party?
Yes.
My name? And he's like, I'm going to need a name for this check. And she's like, my name is Elizabeth Taylor. And he's like, okay, honey, I know Elizabeth Taylor, and she doesn't look like you.
Jackie, you got a load of these fucking clowns.
And then she's walking, and she's like walking out defeated, and he's like, yeah, yeah. And she turns around and goes, sir, and then just delivers a monologue from Cat on a Hot Tin Roof or something. And he goes,
if it's like any Hollywood road movie, they'd make enemies at the first pit stop that follow them.
Yeah.
And they keep meeting them along the way.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Maybe it's like a car of three other celebrities of similar.
Yeah.
Bette Davis. It's Bette Davis, Paul Newman, and I don't know who's going to be our Michael Jackson equivalent, Prince. There you go.
Yeah. And they're infinitely cooler.
Yeah. Fucking hell. That's way better.
They're driving a caddy with no hood.
Yeah.
There's a misunderstanding at the first gas station, and Michael Jackson has to be like, we didn't mean any harm by this, sir.
What happens is both the cars leave, but then the gas station blows up somehow, and the cops are now chasing both
And then Prince and Michael Jackson have a dance-off, which Prince easily wins because Prince was a better dancer. And this is a hill I will die on, and I'm really tired of hearing about what a great dancer Michael Jackson was when Prince was a better dancer. And not a pervert. Carry on.
Well, Suze, did Prince have a video game? He didn't need one.
Moonwalker was a bad video game.
It was a very bad game.
You never hear stories of women going like, and then he had sex with my son.
Yeah. That never happened.
Anyway.
They're driving along, Michael Jackson, Elizabeth Taylor, Marlon Brando, and Marlon Brando's like, can we at least put the radio on? And Michael Jackson's been singing the whole way. He's a little bit upset.
And he's only doing his new stuff.
And he puts it on and a Prince song.
My world, you know you do.
Puts it on and then a Prince song comes on, like, ugh, I hate this guy.
Yeah. Like, turn it off, I hate him. Michael Jackson, he's a class A bitch. So the story, one of his backing singers, when she was very young and not famous yet, was Sheryl Crow. And she was very gorgeous and talented. And one of the guys, I think Wade Robson from the documentary, said, oh yeah, when I was a teenager, I went to one of his shows. And afterwards I said, oh, that backing singer, she's so hot. And Michael Jackson went, you should see her without makeup. She's gross. She's so ugly. What a little cunt.
Because
he's jealous, because that's his boyfriend. Have I told this story on the podcast before of when Michael Jackson was desperate to play Jar Jar Binks?
What?
No.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
But I do know this.
I might have told you guys just off camera.
I did not know this. Off camera.
He was desperate to play Jar Jar Binks. Like, he heard about the Star Wars prequels, and obviously they were the biggest thing ever when they were announced. Like, oh my god!
And also, they did, and really good currency with kids.
Yeah.
So he desperately wanted to play Jar Jar Binks, and he was like lobbying George Lucas to play him. He would go to Hollywood to have meetings with him.
Well,
George Lucas wasn't keen, and then he cast... I can't remember the name of the guy he cast.
Ahmed Best.
That's it. There you go. So he cast him, and he went... Michael Jackson happened to see them in, like, a restaurant, and he said, hey, George, nice to see you. And he went, oh, this is Jar Jar Binks. And Michael Jackson, he said, it was like his... That little high voice he does, he went, it just disappeared, and he just went, oh.
Lucas, like, you better get your goons off.
He beat the shit out of one of
them. He pulled him off one of those shitty balcony like restaurants in Hollywood. Just grabs him, fucking pulls him over the railing. Get your ass up, Lucas.
Yeah.
Get your ass. Rips his shirt off.
Say it one more time. Say he's Jar Jar Binks one more time, motherfucker.
I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Rips his shirt off. He's like crazy jacked for no reason.
But his body's black still.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah, it's almost like he's wearing a rubber mask that stops just below his neckline.
and his real speaking voice is Isaac Hayes.
Oh, shit.
Like, oh, no, I don't think so.
I don't think so, Lucas.
Who's the cat that cast him as Jar Jar Binks over me?
George.
Damn straight. Who is the man? Can you dig it? Damn right.
This is something, and I say this, I was thinking it would be a terrible idea to have Michael Jackson play Jar Jar Binks. That film couldn't have been worse if he played Jar Jar Binks.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. How rude.
Although, it would have given a lot of depth to the relationship between him and Anakin Skywalker.
That is true. Everyone's just sat in the cinema just uncomfortable. They're just like, I don't know what it is. Just,
yeah. Come here, Annie.
Does he want him to go over there? Or does he want him to... Oh, God.
Episode 2 would have been a trial of serious allegations against Josh Abbott.
Oh, that would be better.
And that's what kicks off the war.
Attack of the
not
bones.
Taxation on trade routes. Jar Jar Binks has been diddling the younglings at the Jedi Temple.
I don't think you should. That's why Liam Neeson's always annoyed with Jar Jar, because he's pedo.
You have a load of people in Coruscant campaigning, Jar Jar is innocent. Jar Jar is innocent.
The Jar Jar troopers.
Look at him walking around with impunity, like the law doesn't touch him. That piece of shit. I see. He did it. Half the B plot of the film is people trying to fucking unravel it.
You know, Jedis brilliant. Can't lie. The kids wouldn't make this up. Yeah.
Yeah, all right then.
Sure thing, mate. Yeah. Apparently, they stopped at a gas station. We don't know how many, if they did.
Oh, something. Apparently they stopped at a few, but I don't know why you would do that. If they only got 8 hours.
Yeah.
The story goes they got as far as Ohio. You only really need to stop for gas once if
it's
you're driving
570
for 8 hours,
miles.
Yeah. Chris knows. Yeah. Chris has done, we've all done 8 hour drives.
We've done a
you
lot
do
of
the
driving
math.
Around the country.
And you only did a stop once. Yeah.
I don't see why they, unless they did have to stop for snacks and that. Because Marlon Brando was like,
he's a hungry boy.
You ate all the Doritos. You ate all the, that was 4 packets of Doritos.
Where there aren't any KFCs, Marlon, I would accept a favorite chicken and ribs.
But what about that Jack in the Box? No, we're not stopping at Jack in the Box.
No, I hate them. Just Michael Jackson hates
them. So they just went and got snacks from gas stations, maybe. And obviously they had to stoke a rivalry.
Yes,
that could then go on for the rest of the road trip.
And there's always a piece of music that plays every time that other car drives. Like a little
snare.
Like, it's them, those guys.
Raspberry beret.
Yes.
Kenge and Michael Jackson's like.
It should be Little Red Corvette.
Oh, they drive by the Little Red Corvette and they look amazing in it. They're just like.
All windswept, including Paul Newman.
Yeah.
All his hair's incredible.
Paul Newman is salad dressing age Paul Newman. So he's like, he's not old. He's like,
good.
He's just looking good.
He's just drinking his chili sauce.
And they're having the best time. They're like passing minstrels around the car. Yeah. Like they're playing Revel Roulette. They've got all kinds. And Brando's like, they've got loads of snacks.
They've got toughies I can't refuse.
I am closing my laptop. God. This is this is the last episode of Mystery on the Rocks.
That's it. It's done. It's over.
Close
now.
There.
There you go. It's done.
I'd like to point out that Masood clapped a pun.
I don't know what's happening. So I was talking to Sarah the other day about this. I don't like puns, but I appreciate a pun name for an animal. I think it's my favorite thing.
What? Like what?
So like, what's it?
Chairman Meow.
Chairman Meow, or a snake called Snake Gyllenhaal, or, you know, things like that are always fun. I'm like, that's good.
What the snail in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend? She's got her snails. I can't remember.
She has a soft toy alligator called Ruth Gator Ginsburg, which I think is fantastic.
They're called like Snailiana Grande or something.
Oh, see, like stuff like that. I'm like, that's funny. That tickles me. But regular puns, can't stand them. Except for what Chris did. That was also good. If you can pun
that
a movie, if you can pun a movie line, and you can pun an animal's name with a human name, fantastic. You're good in my book.
Oh, yeah. Snaily Minaj, Snaila Swift, and Snaily Ray Jepsen.
Yeah. I like those. I like all those. Those are fun.
That's good. Iggy Asnalia.
There you go. Iggy Asnalia. Perfect. That's a fun name.
Not relevant, sorry.
No. We're talking about Elizabeth Snaila.
Oh my God.
Oh God, I hate working with Chris Stokes, but only today.
It's really telling that they both say, oh God, I hate that, after they've just done a sincere laugh.
We
and a
loved
little
it.
Involuntary clap.
We loved it and we hated ourselves for loving
that. I think that's what it is, yeah. It's
I hate myself for loving that.
So they've got this, I hope they have a rivalry of three other stars. And they only got to Ohio. You're right. It's not that far. That's 8 hours. That's like a gig in the South.
That's like if we drove up to Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not that far. It's
and they'd stopped at T-Bay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you fucking would as well. Exactly. I'd stop at T-Bay, then I'd stop for Durham for petrol.
Really? You go across like that?
Yeah.
But across all the way to Durham?
I've done. I think there was some kind of crazy shit going on the M6. Because we were doing at one point.
Yeah.
Joining us now is an American trucker to tell us about the route they took.
Oh, perfect.
No, could you imagine?
Great, if we could just let them in the Zoom chat and it's just like a stereotypical trucker who's got a MAGA hat on.
I think I've done everything. I think that's basically the story.
That's the story. Okay.
So there are people that obviously contest it.
Yeah.
They don't think it happened.
Prince said it didn't happen.
Yeah, Prince is like, we were actually driving a Corvette, not a Cadillac.
I don't think it happened. No. Like, it's a shame. Don't be ridiculous, but it's so funny. I mean,
the reason that it kind of took off was because, yes, the three of them were all mates. Yes, they were all in New York when it happened. That the idea of them bandying together to get out, it's a fun little idea.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, somebody, the person who started the story, would have started it thinking, well, you can't disprove it. It turns out you can disprove it. There's evidence to suggest
right.
that they didn't, which we'll go through. We'll start with Brando, though, because that's the funniest.
Yeah.
There are accounts of when it happened that everyone was like, we need to get to safety. Because they are like, they were sort of like, we need to keep you safe and get you out of here.
Yeah.
Brando refused to leave his hotel room until the world had ended.
Jesus Christ.
He couldn't give a fuck at this point. I mean, he died 2 years later, didn't he?
Yeah, he was 1924. He was 1924 he was born. So okay. he was 77.
Not that old, is it? But then he was, and he'd lived just, such a life.
Yeah.
He'd just done that film with Edward Norton.
The score and De Niro.
Oh, right.
That's where I got the towel thing from, because apparently he refused to be shot from the waist down.
So he just wore a towel.
Right. He could just wear his towel, yeah.
Jesus
funny.
Christ.
He had such a disdain for his craft, which I sort of love, because he got to the point where he went, I don't need to respect any of this. And it's like, oh, it's more fool them to keep hiring him, because everyone knows what he's like.
I think it's definitely indicative of people born in the 30s, because Orson Welles did the same thing, where he's like, have you seen that ad where he's like, he's supposed to be advertising wine, and he's hammered. And he's just like, everyone asks him, he's like, oh, what? Yes, this wine is good. And you're like, he doesn't give a fuck, does he?
Could not give a shit.
Because he said, Orson Welles famously said he started his career at the top and worked his way down. And it's pretty...
Yeah, but he did Streetcar, was like his first movie. Really.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, you look at people like Brando and that, it's like, those guys started high. It's like, because no one was making films. They're like, hey, you've done two films. You want to be in this incredible film?
Yeah. Sure. Well, he was a Broadway star in his early 20s. Because if you haven't looked at a picture of young Brando in like a year and then you do, it's like looking directly at the sun. It's like, oh my God, he's so beautiful.
Yeah, you're like, wow. Yeah.
He is so ridiculously gorgeous. There's never been a better looking man.
Yeah.
And it was like he sabotaged his own body to be like, fuck you if you think I was beautiful. Because he had like terrible eating disorders, and there's something very...
Yeah, which makes that KFC detail in this story, like, it explains it, and also makes it a little bit disrespectful.
Yeah.
They had to stop at KFC because it was so fat. It was like, no, come on.
Michael Jackson worried.
Even the Zadie Smith story dwells on, like,
getting him in the car.
Brando's appearance.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it's like, it was so sad, this man who used to be the peak of physical perfection.
Yeah.
And now, like, this is like, he's also in his late 70s. It happened.
Yes, yeah. He doesn't have to be hot stuff at this age.
But he, yeah.
He's not going to play the role he played in Streetcar again.
No.
At this point.
Imagine, he's like, Stanley Kowalski, all grown up. And he's like, he's just drinking Stella, going, Stella.
Stella.
I'd love it if there's a parallel universe out there where he's Monica and Ross's dad in Friends.
That would be great. Yeah.
Oh, just throwing in his own lines. One of my favourite film documentaries of all time is Lost Soul, which is about the making of the Island of Dr. Moreau, which he's in. And he he like was a nightmare to work with. Not horrible to anybody, but he just didn't respect the movie making process at all. And he would say things, he wouldn't learn his lines, and he had an earpiece in with his assistant reading his lines just before he had to do them from the trailer. So he wouldn't even read them. He just had someone reading them into his ear. And he at one point ruined a take by going, "God damn it, Caroline, I told you not to act."
is the chewing gum story true, where he kept throwing his lines and screwing up this scene, and then somebody said, like, he said, like, "Look, all right, if you get this right, I'll give you some chewing gum or something like that."
Right.
And he goes, like, and then he, this next take, and he's like, and he does the take, and he doesn't just get the line right, he nails it. It's the take they put in the can. He walks over to the director and opens his mouth. He's like, "Ah."
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
I don't know when he was in. It's true, yeah.
When he was in Guys and Dolls, he got cast in Guys and Dolls as Sky, who's the lead, and he's the very glamorous part. He's very like, and he gets to sing "Luck Be a Lady," and which is the big number in Guys and Dolls. Mm. And Frank Sinatra was cast as Nathan Detroit, who is frankly the better role. It's more fun, and you get funnier stuff to do, but Frank Sinatra was livid, and he obviously had big jealousy with Marlon Brando, and he was furious. He like insisted that they get a singer to cover Marlon Brando. You know, it was in those days where you'd have like a almost like a ghostwriter, but it was a someone doing the singing voice. He was like, "Well, he obviously can't sing, so you're going to need to get a singer in, and I should be playing Sky." Anyway, they did a screen test, and Brando can sing pretty fucking well.
So yeah.
He's great. He does his own singing in the film. But Sinatra hated it and was really bitter, and Brando knew this. And there was a scene where they're both just at a cafe, and it's the dialogue scene, and Sinatra is having to eat cheesecake. It's part of the scene that Nathan Detroit's eating cheesecake, and Sinatra hated cheesecake. He thought it was disgusting. So Brando made sure he fucked up 50 takes in it. Like, he just, shit, and he just, and he, they said, like, everyone on set said you couldn't be cross with him because he was so respectful, and he's always, "I'm so sorry, Frank, I'm so sorry." Every time he fucked up, and they'd have to get more cheesecake, and he'd have to eat more cheesecake. And then the director finally said, "We need to be done in 5 minutes, or we're just going to have to set up and do this tomorrow." Brando nails it. They will go home.
And that's it, isn't it? He could turn it on whenever he wanted.
What an asshole.
Which is crazy when you think about the immersion that he would go through to be in a role.
Yeah. Absolutely.
To then be able to turn it on and off.
Yeah.
You can just, I suppose that's the mark of a genius.
You just go, and he's there. And you, but then, but the fact that he's just like, whatever.
It's mad.
Which I think is where people then got this idea that he was always asking them to stop at KFC. Because the story is told that he would annoy Elizabeth Taylor and Michael Jackson by asking them to do that.
Right.
Is there any crazy Liz Taylor stuff, though? Does she make appearance in any of the, like, to kind of solidify the facts of the... Not the facts.
Did she get married to someone on the way?
On the way,
The gas station attendant.
I'm going to marry him.
She tried to marry Prince when they had their rivalry in the first stuff. That's her subplot throughout the whole road trip. She falls in love with Prince at the first meeting.
Yeah. And he's
when
like,
they keep meeting again, she's always trying to marry him.
He's racing away from her going, "Oh no."
Or somehow all the guys except for one character, so except for Brando, end up with Prince. And that's like the blow point of the film. Like, Brando's like really sad. He feels like he's chased them all away. And then something happens and they bring them all back. Like, I don't know, like their car blows up. And then they're all riding the Fiat Punto together. They're all back to Hollywood. And that's the end of the film. And then that's it. And then it just cuts to the car driving into the sunset with fun music. Like, "Raindrops keep falling on my head."
Why does Paul get the song?
Sinatra shows up furious.
Yes, Liz Taylor does feature in the another evidence-based thing about why it couldn't happen, because one of her assistants said, no, she actually went to church to pray that morning, and then very, very soon afterwards, she went to Ground Zero and met the first responders.
So she definitely wasn't
at the earliest opportunity. But what that means is she didn't leave New York.
Right. Okay, yeah.
Do you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, if she was there to then go and meet first responders when it was safe, she didn't leave New York. She was also staying in a different hotel from Brando and Michael Jackson.
Okay.
So
So they probably didn't even text each other.
Well, who knows? Apparently she adored Michael Jackson.
Yes.
Yes, they were very, very close.
Yes.
Because normally when you hear the stories, it's sort of like he idolised her. But apparently it was reciprocal, if not more the other way around.
Very odd, isn't it? Because, like, what are you possibly enjoying about hanging out with Michael Jackson post 1990?
Yeah, that
is very odd, man.
Yeah, like
did she just really like Bubbles? She's like, I love him. Yeah. He's so wonderful.
He's got a great roller coaster.
Elizabeth Taylor's a roller coaster junkie.
She just loves it.
Yeah, I love to visit Neverland Ranch. I go crazy for that shit. The giraffes, I wave hello.
And then I guess MJ, Michael Jackson, he...
There's the story about that is a guy called Stacey Brown, who Suze might know, recognise the name of. Stacey Brown wrote an article in the New York Post where he said, it is completely untrue. And I know this because I helped Michael Jackson and the Jacksons get out of New York.
Oh, right.
Because he was a family friend at the time.
Oh, okay.
I haven't heard of him. I don't, yeah.
Stacey Brown is, yeah, so he was family friends with the Jacksons, quite close to Michael Jackson, but not right up until the end of Michael Jackson's life because Stacey Brown came to believe that Michael Jackson was guilty of the
people. Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh,
right,
is it because of all the kids he'd had sex with?
Yeah.
I think
it's
probably because of that, yeah.
That's probably, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty glaring evidence there.
Do you know what, though? You shouldn't, like, I think it's weird to go, like, good for them, but actually good for them. Because so many people who were close to him, like, right to the end were going, no, not my Michael. Yeah. And it's because he was a manipulative narcissist. He was able to...
Well, convince a lot of
get these wild loyalty out of people. I mean, you can see that with the descriptions from everyone who's ever accused him of how he groomed the boys and the families.
This Stacey Brown guy, he wrote a book, Behind the Mask or something, about Michael Jackson.
Okay.
Behind the Blanket.
Oh, that's horrible in so many ways.
What is not disputed is the fact that the three of them would hang out, their mates.
Yes.
And they were at that show together on September the 10th. Mm. But I'm now going to the New York Post written by Stacey Brown. Unfortunately, this never happened. I know because I helped Jackson's family return to California after the 9/11 attacks.
Mm.
So the thing about this as well, and this is the reason why the story carried on, is because Jackson, Brando and Taylor, none of them spoke about their immediate experiences of being in New York during the attacks.
Oh.
None of them spoke about it before they died. And they are all now dead.
Yeah.
So it can't be...
You can't cross-reference
Brando died in 2004. Jackson died in 2009. Elizabeth Taylor, I think, in 2011.
Yeah.
And because none of them ever mentioned being in New York when it happened,
right,
people have been able to make up this story about them leaving.
And then no one can say anything otherwise because they're dead.
Which is a shame because it is a cool story. I'd love to believe it was true. I'd love...
It's one of the few ones that we have where I go, God, wouldn't it be great though if it was? What a road trip to be in that car. My God. Ah, to be the FBI in that car.
Oh. Hearing their chats listening to Jackson beatbox.
According to Stacey Brown, as it happened, Brando refused to leave his room. Elizabeth Taylor, she immediately left to go and meet Debbie Reynolds, who was also around.
Okay. Why is that funny? This. I'm going to meet Debbie Reynolds. And then she meets Debbie Reynolds, who's got the same voice in my head. Like, hey, Liz, you made it out.
It's like if the 9/11 attacks were the pandemic, they were both anti-maskers. No, we're going out for coffee.
See you later. I'm going to hang out at the plaza.
Anyway, the reason that she went to meet Debbie Reynolds, and this makes me like Elizabeth Taylor a little bit, I had no opinion of her either way, to be honest. But this tips the balance over into I quite like Elizabeth Taylor. She went to meet Debbie Reynolds because Debbie Reynolds needed to be back on the West Coast for a thing.
Mm. Mm.
And Taylor called her ex-husband, who was a Virginia Senator John Warner, to ask for help to get Debbie Reynolds out.
Oh, that's nice.
Elizabeth Taylor as well was pretty much initially one of these only voices speaking out about the AIDS crisis and how it needed...
Yes.
How the government needed to fucking do something to help these men. Yeah,
because they weren't... Yeah, Reagan was pretty much ignored the whole thing.
Do you know
until...
what?
Yeah?
I do like Elizabeth Taylor then.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think she was all right. Weird taste in her friends, MJ, but... maybe she just liked Brando. Everybody. Maybe she was so nice.
Maybe she just really loved
them.
She absolutely loved everybody.
Knowing that Elizabeth Taylor and Brando were okay and safe... Michael Jackson then checked in on his mother, and his brothers, because they were staying across town at another hotel.
Okay.
They were all like, we need to get out of the city. So Stacey Brown himself booked them two RVs. Each of those RVs fit 18 passengers. They were driven by their security guards that they knew. So that he got the family out of New York. But Michael Jackson didn't go with them.
Oh.
Michael Jackson instead went to the Trump International.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Just imagine the cars driving away. They're like, wait, we left someone behind. It's, hey, guys, wait for me. It's Tito. Drive. Why does everyone know it's Tito?
He sent his spokesman to go and, who's a guy called Bob Jones, he sent him to go and check on Brando, and it's actually Jones who's responsible for the quote elsewhere of Brando doesn't want to talk to anybody. He said he's not going to come out of his room until the world ends. Right. This is how we know Brando said that.
Yeah. Mm.
But anyway, Michael Jackson did leave New York in his tour bus, but it was 2 days after the attacks.
Okay.
Liz Taylor, Marlon Brando weren't with him, but his children were, and a couple of security guards and then a family friend. Planes were still grounded, so no one could leave. And then Stacey Brown is at pains to point out this, despite the fact that he then went on to obviously be like, I think he probably was a paedophile.
Yeah.
Apparently Michael Jackson was really preoccupied with his fans and their safety, because they'd had to camp outside the plaza.
Okay, right.
Apparently. So he ordered the tour bus to go back to Manhattan to offer rides out of the city for anyone that needed them.
Right.
Okay.
Apparently he stayed in the New York City area until late December, then he went to Los Angeles.
We stayed there for fucking 3 months.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, yeah. So those are the three stories that debunk the whole thing. Which is a shame.
It's
because
a shame. It's,
wouldn't it be great if it
was? It's a fun story. It's a lot of fun. And a movie coming out this summer. The Trip of a Lifetime.
Hey guys, in for a penny, in for a pound. Of the three of us in the movie adaptation, who would play who?
Oh, can I please play Elizabeth Taylor?
I think
Taylor?
Suze would be MJ.
Yeah.
I'm going to be Michael.
I'll play Elizabeth Taylor.
Will you be Michael Jackson with my great big nose? And that means Chris is Brando.
Is it?
Chris is Brando.
Yeah.
Chris is just like, can we stop for KFC?
I just can't wait to get in the dress and the shawl with the diamonds. That's what I want. It's what I've always wanted.
With the suit, Luke uses his actual hair, but he whites up his skin.
Yeah, exactly, with the burns as well, with the sideburns.
I also white up my skin to be Michael Jackson.
Hollywood, make it happen. You've got the cast right here.
Mystery starring. Mystery on the Rock.
I would eat from now until then to put all the weight on.
Just to get anywhere near that Brando,
that severe Brando
2001.
And the thing is that I wouldn't be able to reverse mac it. I wouldn't be able to lose it again.
It's just like, oh yeah, Chris is just very fat now.
Chris is he's massive.
So that's the urban myth of Michael Jackson, Elizabeth Taylor, and Marlon Brando's road trip after 9/11.
Amazing.
Fantastic.
Oh, if only it were true.
Is there anything in the archives?
Is there anything in the archives?
Yeah, there is. This got released in 2001, but it got released on 9/11.
Oh,
so that's why no one's heard it.
Eclipsed by the release of the film Glitter. What a shame.
Yeah.
Did Almonds and Champagne also join Michael Jackson, Elizabeth Taylor, and Marlon Brando on stage?
Yes. They were the support act for Michael Jackson.
Jesus.
On September the 10th at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, he's like, they're very frightening, but they asked if they could do the show, and I said yes. And they went up. They did all their hits. They did Patriotism is the Only Way. They're quite ahead of their time in a way, because they were like Insurrection, yes, that was another one of their songs. They did a load of bloody songs from their prog rock era.
There's
one called The Snail and the Tree, which is just about a snail fucking a tree. It's 15 minutes long. It's horrible. But they also, they released a song when they heard what Jacko, Brando and Taylor were going to do. They went, can we come too? And the three of them all just fucking went, no way. So they wrote a song about it called Betrayal Road Trip. And Betrayal Road Trip is quite a bitter ditty. It's from one of their bitter ditties. You know, they've got a few. Here it is.
Wow. Here it is.
1, 2, 1, 2, 9/11. Why the fuck did you try to? This marriage should stop. Yeah, we're talking to you, Elizabeth Taylor.
controlled demolition brought the buildings down, they say.
Who is they?
Them.
Who?
Trust me, and Building 7, smoking gun.
What?
They weren't planes. They were holograms.
We saw them go into the buildings.
No, we didn't.
We did.
No.
What were they then, if they weren't planes?
Missiles sent by President Bush.
Ugh, this song is over. You're ridiculous.
You're ridiculous.
Just, yeah. It just, and then it just, my God. Ooh, thanks for listening. You can find us on Twitter, at Mystery on the Rocks, spelled R-O-X. You can find us on Instagram as well, same. You can email us at mysteryontherocks@gmail.com, spelled R-O-C-K-S. You can also find us on Twitch, where we stream on Thursdays at 8 p.m. That's twitch.tv/mysteryontherocks, spelled R-O-C-K-S. And you can also find us individually. We're also on Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. Suze?
Yes, twitter.com/SuzeUK or twitch.tv and or twitch.tv/SuzeKempner, all one word.
And you can find Chris?
Twitter @_Chris_Stokes or twitch.tv/Chris_Stokes.
And I am on Twitter @MasoodMilas, all one word. Or you can find me on Twitch as well as twitch.tv/MasoodMilas, all one word. Yeah, that's it. That's the whole
that's
thing.
That's it.
Bye, everybody.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Do Taylor. Come on, Chris. Do Taylor. Oh, he stopped recording. Okay, bye.
Mr.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.